W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The suspected murderer in the shooting deaths of a woman in South Carolina and a New Mexico state trooper, Jeremy Smith, captured, say police, in Albuquerque, say local media. On trooper Justin Hare, who stopped at a stalled car, state police chief Troy Whistler.
The last words Officer Hare uttered on this earth was to offer help to a man who's about to kill him.
Some Americans trapped in Haiti who want to get to a flight out chartered by the U.S. State Department have to get to a northern Haitian city, says ABC's Matt Rivers in the Dominican Republic.
Make no mistake, you will risk your life, no question. There is one single highway that runs there. I've been on it before. It is entirely gang-controlled.
President Biden on St. Patrick's Day at a White House brunch with Catholic leaders.
I want to thank you all for the incredible, valuable work you do to support the vulnerable people and communities across the United States. And I might add, around the world.
Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots growing. This is ABC News. Flood warnings for parts of the southwestern U.S. today. ABC News forecaster Samara Theodore.
Houston, Texas. Lots of rain on the radar. Slick road conditions. A lot of the heavier rain is going to be making its way farther east as we head through this afternoon. New Orleans, flash flooding possible. Then this evening, that shifts to the Florida Panhandle. So a lot of our spring breakers are going to be dealing with heavy rain by the overnight hours that then makes its way to the Carolina coast.
More concern about viral posts online encouraging young people to meet up to fight. Complete chaos at an outdoor mall in Long Beach, California yesterday. Hundreds of teens and young adults involved in fights. Police forced to evacuate the area, ruining date night for this person.
When I was younger, honestly, there was no such thing as going viral trying to fight. That's incriminating yourself. It doesn't make sense logically.
A young boy was shot nearby. Tomorrow night's Powerball jackpot's at least $600 million. This Tuesday night's Mega Millions pot, at least $875 million. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's concern artificial intelligence could cause problems for the 2024 elections. Alex Gonzalez reports.
Shauna Broussard is a commissioner with the Federal Election Commission and contends disclosure efforts are an effective way to inform voters, but not infringe on First Amendment rights.
There's a big controversy that deals with First Amendment rights when you're dealing with speech, and particularly when dealing with political speech. But one thing that the courts have said that when it comes to disclosure, disclaimers are still okay.
Broussard says while a number of states have passed AI-related legislation, it should be regulated at the federal level. Digital watermarking and other alternatives have also been suggested, which Broussard says is a step in the right direction, but not sufficient to solve the problems AI is causing. Daryl West is a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. He says while AI has presented unique and new challenges and does support legislation, he argues holding bad actors accountable with existing laws could be part of the solution.
We need to enforce them. We need to start prosecuting the worst offenders.
The Brookings Institution has also published a list of best practices for state election officials to follow, which include facilitating dialogue with voters and the public around potential challenges of AI, training election staff to use AI tools appropriately, as well as testing for and mitigating potential AI dangers before launching AI tools and services. I'm Alex Gonzalez. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowden.
Monday on The Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by City of Milwaukee political veteran Alderman Bob Bauman as we discuss why the incumbent city attorney is unfit for office.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few flurries possible today, highs in the low 30s. Northwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, a low of 23. Sunshine Monday, 38. A little warmer Tuesday, with a high around 48. Back to the upper 30s on Wednesday.
It's 30 at our studios.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. And we are brought to you by Everlight Solar, baby, powering this studio. That's what solar power sounds like. Kelly Maraca, how you doing? Join me here in the Cripescast studio. I'm doing good. We got Taylor Kalmus on the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise known as Dude Dad, otherwise known as Dude Daddy. He's a good guy. We were just out in Denver doing some shows, and we stopped by Dude Dad's. We did a little skiing.
Couple of sketches.
Some sketches, the whole thing. Some of you might have just seen we put out the How Stanley Was Invented. I had a lot of fun with Dude Daddy. We hung out in his garage and did this podcast. So it's
nice. Yeah. Nice.
His garage is a mess, by the way. It might be messier than my garage.
That's impossible.
Well, Dude Daddy and I are cut from the same cloth in that regard. He is, of course, much better at creating things in his garage than I am.
Yeah, so what's your excuse? Just like,
yeah, I mean, my excuse is I'm just too busy and also not as skilled as he is. I can do your basic stuff. Yeah. He does some pretty intense good stuff. So, but I would like to get more into it because, you know, you got a friend who like does good work, like either you got a friend who can like do better at woodworking or sing better or dance better. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I got to get on my game. That's how I feel with him and
woodworking,
yeah, or just general DIY stuff, you know.
Yeah, yours is like your DIY is duct tape or WD-40.
I would say it's a little more sophisticated than that, but not much.
Wood glue.
Nah, I would say my skills are all YouTube based after your basic carpentry skills. Mm. You know, like the basic stuff you learn.
Yeah.
Like general, maybe framing, that would be the extent of what I feel like I can confidently do. And then from there on, it's just all YouTube. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Colleen? Enough about me and my envy. That's really what that is envy.
Do you want to unpack anymore?
No, I think I unpacked it. I just want to be more like Dude Daddy.
I like that. What else? I think that's great. Do you think he wants to be like you?
No. I don't think so. I think maybe there are some aspects, and I don't want to be just like Dude Daddy, you know, but there are some things that you have friends, and this is
you just, look up to in some ways.
Yeah, this isn't just a Dude Dad thing. This is a ton of friends that you have where you admire something that
How do you look up to me? Operative word is friend.
That's a good question. Well, no, you.
Moving right along.
Jinx on the No, Colleen, listen, I'll give you something here. I think you have a very good relationship with your friends, and you make time for your friends. And I don't make much time for. I've set up my life so I am.
You're just a busy guy.
In a constant state of biz. But I am hoping to slow down. That is part of my deal. Anyway, folks. All right. We should probably get into it.
Yeah.
Here is my conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
picked up for you.
You did. And you did a really nice job here, Taylor. Like, I like how, you know, you got the bikes down there.
Mm-hmm. This is there's an assortment of like six different projects happening that are unfinished and just scattered out throughout with tools every which way.
I feel like there's no greater poster for Dude Dad than this garage right now because it's just all tools.
Ski boots,
extreme sports things. Do you saw that stroller that's rigged up to the go-kart
thing? Heidi made me take the RC power off of the stroller.
Why? Safety concerns?
Yeah, because it's that the remote would go wonky once in a while and it would just kind of take off.
Yeah. If anything, you don't want to just kind of take off with a remote. I would say a stroller.
With a baby in it, yeah.
Stroller would be one of them.
Yeah.
Folks, this week's episode is brought to you by Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy.
Mm.
And that's actually a good point. I didn't even do the intro of this podcast.
I'm sponsoring mine.
Yeah, it's expensive.
No one pays for your podcast anymore, so you just sponsor yourself. No,
hey, that's not true. Actually, thank you for bringing that up, because we do have a great sponsor that powers the Cripes Cast, typically, Taylor. That's Everlight Solar. Have you considered solar panels?
I have solar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially when the snow melts off of it and they start working again.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, no, you got to have a good pitch.
Long. It doesn't take
you gotta
long.
You got
to
have a good pitch.
We get a lot of sun here.
You got a nice pitch here.
Yeah. No, you want it to face south.
Yeah.
So then you get the sun coming across
solar,
there all
are you
day.
Solar splaining to me right now?
This is just what I was told when they pitched me.
Taylor had the option of what to drink today. Anyway, folks, Everlight Solar, fantastic company, powers the Cripescast studio when we're actually doing the Cripescast studio.
I'm having some Barron's Old Fashioned...
Fireball. He pours Fireball. I literally bring him
I didn't know where it was at.
Dante brought you a bottle all the way from Milwaukee, and you started drinking Fireball. Not only did you... I've never seen somebody pour themselves an actual glass of Fireball. Like, he's got Fireball on the rocks here.
Well, a little bit of hot, a little bit of cold.
Now, I suppose. works for Fireball. Maybe it works for other things.
Hey, I just put seven kids asleep upstairs before coming down here to this studio.
I do appreciate you doing this. Taylor is doing me a favor today, folks, if I'm being honest, because...
Charlie didn't have anything planned. And we're supposed to be going skiing tomorrow. So he's like, hey, can we talk in front of the camera for an hour?
I mean, we've been talking all day.
Yeah,
this guy literally is sick of talking to me, but here it is.
Let's move on. What do you want to talk about, Chuck?
I want to talk about this couch that you have in your garage, man. This isn't a couch.
My new Davenport.
Dude. This is a Davenport. 100%. Did you actually like?
We paid for this.
No way.
$400.
Come on.
It looks
like it came right out of the 70s.
It's fantastic. Is it vintage? It looked even better in the Craigslist ad.
Oh, did it? Why? What did you see? Stains were not disclosed?
Burke brought it home, and there's some tears in it, but then he had his mom come and stitch them up.
Oh, yeah. You can barely tell.
No, you can't tell anymore.
I don't even remember
where they're at.
Burke's mom's really cool.
Yeah,
I met her the other night.
Cheryl, she stitched it up.
Cheryl did a heck
Anybody
of a job
with
on
a
this
name
Davenport.
Like Cheryl, you know, is going to be able to run a good stitch.
I mean, my gosh.
You ever met a Cheryl that can't run a good stitch?
Never. Never.
If I get my face cut open, I'm walking around going, Cheryl!
Yeah, you got to have Cheryl. And she'll be right there.
Stitch me up.
She won't have anesthesia, but she will have some brandy. Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy, folks. That's probably where I get in trouble, right? When I start...
Putting it in your... Yeah, you should just put a little disclaimer at the bottom.
That says do not actually put
Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy into your wounds.
No. I'm not saying you... No.
Oh, Taylor, you drink it while you're getting stitched?
It's an anesthetic. Like when I was a kid, okay, I cracked my eye open, right? I had a big gash right there. Can you see it? There's a scar here. I can't remember where. Can you see it?
This side.
Yeah,
it's right there.
So that scar, I was playing guitar in my room, Fender Squire.
Right, so you're in your room getting your angst out.
I'm playing some Everclear probably,
okay.
Or trying to learn a sick Red Hot Chili Peppers solo. And so, but then my dad called me and I had forgotten to do something. Oh. And so when he called me, I was like, oh, you know, because I was going to go run and do that before I got caught not doing it. And I hit the guitar on my eye.
Ah.
And I cut my eye open. Anyway.
You cut your eye open with a G-string.
He'll be here all 48 more minutes of this podcast, folks. Anyway, long story short.
He cut his eye with open with a G-string.
And my dad sewed it up on the kitchen table. And for anesthetic, he offered me a little bit of hooch. I forget what it was.
He let you drink it? 16?
Yeah, because he wasn't going to use
because it was a medical thing.
Anesthetic.
It was a medical thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It was, it was a nice bonding moment. So then there on the kitchen table where we had just had our casserole, he sewed up the old hot dish.
I just had the same bonding moment with my son.
Oh, yeah.
He got smacked in the face with a barbell. The DJ's son was yielding an accident, and they called us up, and they said, hey, Theo got banged up. He might need some stitches. You might want to come get him. I'm like, okay. So I went over there, looked at a good deep cut, but they had a butterfly on it already, and they're like, and Amber's a nurse, and she's like, well, you might be able to just put another butterfly on there. So I got him out of there. We drove to the grocery store. I was walking in the grocery store. I said, all right, buddy, look, we can go. We got two options. Mm-hmm. We can go in, get you a butterfly, and daddy's going to have to shave a little bit of your hair to get that butterfly to stick real good.
Yeah.
Option two, I take you to the hospital and you get stitches. And he goes, option one, option one, option one. I was like, cool.
You were proud.
He was like 100% option one.
I mean, yeah. Because I feel like Theo's a kid who may think stitches would be kind of fun.
No, he thought he was going to die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he literally thought it was the over. He thought it was the end.
How old is
he's eight.
Okay, and Ollie, you said, had to wait?
Dude, yeah.
What is that kid doing being able to throw dumbbells?
It's a barbell. I don't know. It must have been. I don't know what DJ's got for weights over there.
So he's a pretty strong kid.
He's big for eight.
And then so you see this thing, and she's a nurse, so that gives you a little, you know, that gives you like you don't feel like you have to. Because I would feel
it wasn't bleeding anymore. It had already kind of stopped bleeding, but it was deep. It was deep.
Yeah.
But you pull it together with a butterfly. Oh, I need to switch that out. Ooh, shoot.
You gotta go do that now?
Not right now. He's sleeping.
That might be the time to do it.
No.
Tomorrow?
You'll do it tomorrow. I'm gonna be gone. So, well, how long can you leave one bandage on?
You know what? Heidi's gonna be upset about doing that, but I took your garbage out. So,
oh, good.
I think you're square on
Thanks,
that.
Chuck.
How long can you leave a bandage on? How long has it been on?
Two days?
Should we call my dad?
Make a poll quick? It's been on two days. How long can you leave the same bandage on?
Did you put how much Neosporin did you put in it?
I cleaned it with the alcohol wipe.
Oh, you did?
We did an alcohol wipe and cleaned it up good.
But you didn't put any Neosporin in it?
No.
Yeah, you might want to go check that bed.
No. So you're back at Casa de Kelmis.
Thank you.
You've stayed with us quite a few times now. Have you been enjoying your stay?
I love how this interview just turned into your podcast.
So here's the thing. Charlie comes out here once in a while, spends a few nights in our basement. We enjoy having you. You're good with the kids.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Always make the bed. You'll never believe this about Chuck. He makes the bed before he leaves. always makes the bed.
That's always a big question, dude. I always, as a Midwest people pleaser, I'm sitting here thinking, too, like, I want to be a good guest.
Well,
I make your bed?
There's three options.
Yes.
You either make the bed.
Yep.
You either don't do anything and just leave it kind of slept in looking.
Yeah.
Or the third option is you pull the sheets up and you lay them in the middle of the mattress that basically says, I know you're going to do this laundry.
Yeah.
But I don't like that third option because it implies that we really need to do the laundry.
Do you remember when you came and stayed in my house in Milwaukee, in my duplex?
Oh,
and
okay.
You got in the bed and there was a pack of cigarettes in there.
Like, who was here last?
It was Billy Deuce.
Okay.
And I told you that I prepared the room. See, I'm not, like, if they don't look noticeably dirty and someone was only there a couple nights,
I'm assuming sleeping in your basement that I'm sleeping. Although I did see.
Those sheets are clean.
I did see you sent me a picture with just a gun and a toilet paper roll saying I made the bed for you. That was fun. Yeah. I'll show you guys that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw that up in there.
Won't share the text message.
100%. I'm not stripping the sheets after you leave. You've only been here one night.
And I'm a pretty clean. I don't sweat. Well, I do have some night sweats actually.
I don't know. Like what's
you might want to wash some sheets. I'm going to be honest with you. But you know what?
Well, frankly, ball them up and put them in the middle and I'll know you're gross.
Yeah. So you don't want to wash the sheets. You would prefer I just leave the sheets on when I make the bed. Because the last time I think I took the sheets off, put them in the washer or the dryer.
If you're going to wash them for us.
No, I'm not going to wash them. I'm going to put them in the washing machine because I don't want to wake you up with the sound of it.
So we're going to come down and find dry sheets in the washer and go, ah, he didn't even start it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what you would have found the last time I was here. But I had left early. Very early in the morning.
The normal type of content you do on this?
No, but I'm
talking
happy.
Sheets.
I think sheets I've been trying to do this sketch forever of like the sheets thing, but I haven't found a good way to do it because it's like, hey, I'm just going to do the sheets before. Do not touch those. What? Not touch the sheets. No, I got to do them. You know, they're fine. They're fine. Okay.
Oh yeah. But like,
so I don't want to make you do them. I like doing the sheets. Do you like doing the sheets? Or do you just...
Oh, I hate making a bed. But I'm so bad at it. Heidi gives me so much crap because I don't know how to do the little folds and make it, you know. I think all sheets should be fitted sheets. They should just make a second fitted sheet that doesn't have the one end. So you can just slide under that.
Yes. Yeah, a little pocket.
A bed pocket.
Bed pocket.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's a good idea.
And then as an extra blanket, you could have the bed handkerchief. So there's just a blanket sticking out of it.
Basically, you know? It's a sleeping bag that wraps over your mattress and you just slide into that.
Yeah.
And then it makes itself because it's spandex and it's tight.
It's 2024 and we're still making our beds. We've been making our beds since like what? The 17 BCs.
I've
still
been
making
my
bed
since 2011 when I got married.
I'm sorry, I got distracted by how good we look because we're both clashing with this Davenport in different ways. Like three shades of brown.
Well,
on
this Davenport has so many different colors in it that you can't sit on this and not fit in with it.
It's kind of like the Mona Lisa of couches in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at this long enough, you'll see your future.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. You know what? We really should have shot the sketch with this being the chair. We did a Midwest couples therapy.
Oh, yeah.
We shot that today. We're... Taylor plays his Steve character.
Steve and Stacy.
Heidi plays Stacy, and I'm the therapist.
If you have not seen our Buying a House in the 90s sketch, Heidi's best work ever. She leans into her Fargo accent and plays a Midwest mom, and oh my gosh. Oh, geez.
Oh, you know,
I tell you what. Oh,
it's
wow.
Like she's been sitting on a timpani this whole time and hasn't played it for us.
Well, she has, her mom has this little laugh that she does where she'll say something she'll say something that she knows isn't what other people in the room agree with, but then she kind of softens the blow by giving a little giggle after she says it.
Oh, like give me an
example.
So
she'll be like, oh no, I don't like brandy. None for me.
You know, and just give you like a real passive aggressive thing. You're not good enough for my daughter.
Yeah.
It's not too late to leave them, huh?
Yeah.
And then your character, so
sushi.
That's
I don't know. That's not for me. But I can't do the laugh. But Heidi does.
So
like,
Heidi
oh
is kind of doing that impression.
Yeah,
but
it's really good. Yeah.
And then who are you sort of impersonating with that one?
Oh God, I don't know. Just a lot of people. You know, you pick little things up here and there. I don't know where we got the. I think I like a character with like. Whenever I make a character, I try to like give him a posture. Like you find a little bit of a voice. So like I just work with a few vocal things that I can do.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be like making a little deeper or a little bit higher or a little bit raspier or a little bit throatier. Or, and then you give them the lisp, and then you do the Midwest accent, or you do the Southern accent, you know, or really, I don't have a Southern accent. It's just redneck accent.
Yeah. It's something.
Yeah, I couldn't really call it Southern. It's just redneck.
It's kind of like Oklahoma.
Yeah. But I give them that, no offense, find a little bit of a voice. But then I think what helps me to get in character is find like a posture or a walk.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, you know, for a posture, like this is always good. Yeah. You know, especially for like a basic dad who's just like your stereotypical kind of like dorky guy.
Yeah.
But then to like, I wanted to give him the quality of being a close talker, which I think is really close fun. Close talker. Oh, yeah. How about that, huh?
It's so uncomfortable, dude.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's a little bit of a close talker.
Who's that now?
Miles is kind of a close talker.
Miles?
Yeah.
Miles?
I noticed that while we were out in L.A.
Did you call him out on it?
It's not close enough that it's too much, but it's like we have a lot of conversations here.
You should just get closer to him. You tell me when you're doing it, because I want to watch. I want to watch.
See if he notices.
Be like, dude, what are you doing?
He doesn't listen to your. No, he doesn't listen to this.
Miles hasn't listened to a Cripescast in. He might have listened to 5 minutes of one time. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
So we're safe. Nobody tell him.
I wonder, somebody tell him. I want to see if he finds out.
Next time you're talking to him, just see if he edges in close.
I'm going to be talking to him soon. I do a podcast with him. So he's really close. Did you know we do a podcast together?
Yeah, I'm aware.
I am aware. So we went, Taylor and I went hunting together in...
we're going to get into that. Yeah.
In South Dakota.
It was my dad's dream. He was like, I would love for you to come hunting. Mm-hmm. Also bring Charlie.
That was very nice.
Like, yeah, I think we're coming out. Is Charlie coming? Yeah, Dad, he's coming. Okay, cool.
I came all right. And I did not disappoint.
I'm from South Dakota. Lots of pheasants there. So, and you wanted to go pheasant. I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. Let's go. So called up my dad, got a bunch of my relatives together. We take Charlie pheasant hunting. Beforehand, we kind of run him through a few things because we haven't hunted with Charlie yet. And my uncle is really particular about safety and just how things are done. He is a by the books kind of guy.
Which I am too.
Yeah,
I don't want people to stop listening to this right now and think I'm unsafe. I will
fired a gun
your shotgun
in the back of your dad's SUV.
That okay? Let's see here. How many times did you dump your motorcycle?
Once.
Why?
Because
you
of gravel.
Weren't watching
because
out
of gravel.
For. There was a jackrabbit.
No, there was gravel. It was in town. I was going like 3 miles an hour and there's gravel.
Regardless, the gun issue, that was my brother's man. Didn't unload his gun, put it in the back of the thing, put it in the thing. I pulled out four guns, all in cases.
So my Uncle Bill walks Charlie through all the rules, you know, hey,
not all of them.
No ground pounding. We get to the end of the field, we got blockers, keep your shots up, just wait till they go behind you, shoot them, all of that kind of stuff. The one thing he didn't mention is that you only shoot the roosters, okay? So we go through the first drive. We're just getting into the first drive. A couple of hens fly out. Charlie, bom, 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 shoots a couple times. And I'm like, oh, he must have, maybe I couldn't see it because of the light, or maybe he was shooting at a different one. I don't know. And then another hen pops up. Charlie again, pop, pop, pop. And I was like,
well, no one said don't shoot the hens.
And then I kind of crept over to Charlie and I was like, hey, man, you know you can't shoot the hens, right? And he was like, what? You can't shoot the hens? Like, no.
Do you understand? I understand that that's common knowledge
that's
in
why,
South Dakota.
So, but hold on. What was happening before that? Hen! Rooster!
I was like, yeah, there's a hen. I'm going to shoot it. Pow! Luckily, I missed all the time.
So I walk a little closer to Charlie. I say, hey, Chuck, you know you're not supposed to shoot the hens. What? Yeah, no, just shoot the roosters.
Yeah.
But your reason was like made sense. You were like, I've only ever hunted on game farms where you can shoot both.
But the only place you can ever hunt
in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, there are no wild pheasant in Wisconsin. So I've only gone pheasant hunting in Wisconsin.
But
you would think
the moral of the story is Chuck was fine because it's not illegal to shoot at them. So he could have hunted hens all day.
You know, I was too for a while.
No, but you got a bird. It took like 3 or 4 drives. We kept putting you in the middle, and then finally, about 4 guns went off, but we know it was yours that brought him down.
That's what I like about you, Taylor, is that you're always going to give me the benefit of the doubt.
You got him. Oh, God, you peppered him good. Right in the back straps, he went right down. He just locked up like a sack of shit just dropped.
Yeah, that
Dog
was fun.
Dog found him right away.
Haven't gotten an invite back.
You have. Yeah, you have.
Did you go this past year?
No, I did not. I went elk hunting. But maybe we go this year.
That would be fun.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you come out
we'll
to Wisconsin.
We'll see you at the Roaring Gulch.
You can shoot your first 10.
No, let's go out to Wisconsin fishing. Theo wants to do that.
Oh, yeah. We go ice fishing, but there's no ice.
Hey, let's change the topic. So we just went on a new adventure together. We went back out to Los Angeles, our old stomping grounds. We got invited out there about 4 years ago. We shot a video called, is our second video ever together. We shot a video together called Husband is a Target.
Yes, we did.
Along with Miles, You Betcha Guy, and Penn Holderness from the Holderness family. The 4 of us got together, shot this video called Husband is a Target. Kind of blew up, was this big thing. And then 4 years later, literally the anniversary was yesterday.
That's crazy.
I got a little thing. 4 years later, we get a call from Target, the actual like Target, after having never heard anything from them. They call us up and they say what?
They said, yeah, you want to do a part 2? And we were like, thank God we didn't actually shoot that part 2.
Yeah, because we almost shot a part 2. But they flew us out to shoot a part 2 along with Matthew Stafford from the Rams and Garrett Wilson from the Jets.
Yes, it was a good time. And, you know, I will say that a lot of that credit goes to you, Taylor, because 4 years ago when you were like, hey, I got this idea for Husbands of Target.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, sounds interesting. Did not think.
It was huge, man. It was a collection of a lot of things. I think we hit a lot of demos with that video because you hit all of the moms that shop at Target, but you also hit their husbands who have to wait for them outside of Target. So I really think it was one of those videos that like hit a lot of demographics, but also we had 4 major pages that pushed it. Like had I made that video with just 3 other random dudes, it would have done good, but it would have never done what it did. It would have never had that same impact. Because A, we wouldn't have had the pages to push them, but B, like everything that you guys brought to it on your own, you know, elevated it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You know, what I did there was made sure to bring the beef jerky.
And locked your keys in your car.
I did lock my keys in my car.
I think the crazy thing though was to like think back to that day 4 years ago.
Trying to pry out my back seat to get in the trunk.
Yeah, literally like Charlie was driving this
Corolla.
Crappy old Corolla, locked his keys in
crappy
the trunk.
Crappy old? It's still running, by the way.
Yeah, and then, you know, like we were all just, of course it is. but we were all like in the very beginning of this whole thing, really trying to find ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to find, what'd you say?
Find ourselves.
I wasn't trying to find myself. I was trying to find my keys. Yeah. And I tried prying the trunk. And then finally, I just had to bite the bullet and call a freaking key guy.
Didn't I called AAA because I had AAA at the time because that happened to me all the time. My cars were always breaking.
I ended up paying for it.
Ugh.
Yeah, because I think, it was $200.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was probably like, really whatever. But anyway, then you fast forward 4 years, Target flies us first class, which like I rode first class twice ever.
Yeah, I did it one time.
I've never paid for first class. Let me just be clear. I've never paid for
it. Why would you do that?
First class put us up in this swanky hotel and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You could have put us anywhere.
Yeah.
We would have gone.
I got points at the Holiday Inn.
Uh-huh.
But that was super fun. Super full circle moment.
Uh-huh.
And Taylor went to Target to buy his outfit, and he bought.
No, I didn't buy my outfit. I didn't buy my outfit for the shoot. I was just shopping at Target with my wife.
Oh, and you bought this shirt.
I found a nice flannel. I was like, I like that flannel. I bought that flannel. I wore that flannel to the shoot, knowing they were going to fit us, whatever. But I'm like, I'll wear this. I feel good in it. Mm-hmm. And then they fit Charlie before they even look at what I'm wearing. And they put him in the same shirt I was wearing.
And how did that make you feel, seeing me wear your Target shirt?
I was bummed because I really liked that shirt. And I was like, God, they didn't even get to see me in it. Yeah. Because then they were just like, now we got other stuff for you.
Hey, when I come around, Taylor, how'd your flannels?
They put me in a nice salmon hoodie.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fine.
Well, you lucked out because it was, believe it or not, it was colder in Los Angeles than it was in Milwaukee when we shot that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you had a hoodie on.
Full circle moment, though. But I just remember like smiling all day long, just being like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You were catwalk.
This is ridiculous.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The suspected murderer in the shooting deaths of a woman in South Carolina and a New Mexico state trooper, Jeremy Smith, captured, say police, in Albuquerque, say local media. On trooper Justin Hare, who stopped at a stalled car, state police chief Troy Whistler.
The last words Officer Hare uttered on this earth was to offer help to a man who's about to kill him.
Some Americans trapped in Haiti who want to get to a flight out chartered by the U.S. State Department have to get to a northern Haitian city, says ABC's Matt Rivers in the Dominican Republic.
Make no mistake, you will risk your life, no question. There is one single highway that runs there. I've been on it before. It is entirely gang controlled.
President Biden on St. Patrick's Day at a White House brunch with Catholic leaders.
I want to thank you all for the incredible, valuable work you do to support the vulnerable people and communities across the United States. And I might add around the world.
Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots growing. This is ABC News.
Wisconsin headed to the finals. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers with a huge upset, beating number 3-ranked Purdue 76-75 in overtime. Head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously a terrific game, a terrific win for our team against a terrific Purdue team. The determination, the depth that we had to play with because of fouls, how guys stepped up and helped each other out, the execution out of timeouts, and at the end, the defensive play Chucky made there at the end to get a charge. You know, I can go down the list. Just a terrific March game. And excited to watch these guys mature and grow, and they're playing their best basketball right now. It's just where you want to be.
So the Badgers take on Illinois today at 2:30 in the finals for the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. In the Big East finals yesterday, Marquette losing to number 2-ranked UConn 73-57. The Golden Eagles finished the season with a record of 25-9. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few flurries possible today, highs in the low 30s. Northwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, a low of 23. Sunshine Monday, 38. A little warmer Tuesday with a high around 48. Back to the upper 30s on Wednesday.
It's 30 at our studios.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Cripescast, hosted by me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media.
All right, you gonna get them questions or?
Oh yeah, do we have the questions?
Hey, let's get them questions here, quick ones.
All right, folks, now it is time for the
No more listening to Charlie and Taylor ramble. Now it's time for you to guide the conversation. That's nice. I don't even have to do my job. Dante, what questions do we have?
First one, this is for Taylor from Greg Whale 20. What's your favorite scale? Greg Whale 20.
This is going to be good.
What's your favorite sketch you've done with Charlie?
How IKEA was invented. That's an easy one. That's that video trend. It was just, it was different. Nobody had done that yet. And it was just very, the writing I thought was really good. But then the characters and the way we like basically swapped out meth for energy drinks, I thought was really clever. Yeah. And just made these like, just goobers like really innocent, but also like really mapped out exactly what IKEA is like. I thought that video, I mean, that's the one.
Before that video, I went to the gas station to get pretty much every energy drink they had.
We drank so much energy drink that day.
But we didn't drink all of them because after that shoot, I got into my Corolla and I threw, because I was driving my car back from LA because I moved out of Los Angeles. And so I threw a box of the leftover energy drinks in my trunk. I was cleaning my basement the other day, and I found...
You still had them?
Yeah, like two bangs.
Just a couple of bangs. A
couple bangs. I bet you I could put them in the gas tank now, and they run it for a while.
Yeah, in terms of sketches, that's probably one of my like favorite sketches of all time.
Yeah, mine too.
But my favorite one with you, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely... I think that is my favorite one too. Sometimes... I was looking at that video. I saw it on it. Someone sent it to me because it was. Oh, this is why. Someone posted it on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Some like CEO or something. And I was looking at my hair in that thing. And oh my god, dude!
Oh yeah, you had locks.
I did, and cargo shorts too, which I think
I was wearing
unironically.
Yeah, and I remember being like, "That'll be fine." But that
the other thing that you said, we're not going to shoot below the belt.
Yeah, the other thing that like, because a lot of people don't think they don't realize how much thought goes into some of these videos, and sometimes the videos don't have very much thought put into them, and you just kind of send it. But like, the arch that we built in that video and the momentum and the pacing of it was all a part of it that we thought about, you know, that it didn't just like, cause you can't start here. You have to start here and get to here, you know, and then hit it and stop and turn and then finish, you know, like.
You're still talking about.
Yeah. Still talking about sketches. Next question.
Next one is from the Crouchcast executive producer, Colleen Maraca. What are each of your favorite and least favorite things about each other?
Let's start. What is that? You know what that's like? That's like, have you ever played, has Heidi ever gotten a game like We Must Be Strangers or something? And where you like pull cards about your relationship, like past relationships or like, your past, and they're all relationship questions, and they're all written to like get you in trouble with who you're playing the game with.
Okay. I wasn't listening to anything you said. I was thinking about my answer. Maybe that's yours for me. Should we do the good or the bad first?
Oh, do the bad. We're only going to do the bad.
Well, we got to do the good too.
Okay. Because
you got to hit with a peanut butter and jelly.
Give me the bad.
The bad is you never stop working. But that's also kind of the good. But I'm also like, I don't want you to just burn out and die because you work so hard.
Okay, I'm on track. I'm on track for a 42-year-old
job. How many shows have you done this year? Like 4,000?
Yeah. Not 4,000.
The camera's not running. This is intervention. But the good is that you're authentic. When people see the videos, that's pretty much who you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wait.
Pretty much.
What is
can you imagine, hold on, can you imagine how hard it would be to like fake a persona and put out as much content as we do and to be like claim to be somebody that you're not? You know how hard that would be? You know how hard that would be? Like, because like the truth kind of comes out in your content, because it would be so difficult to like pretend you're somebody that you're not.
Oh, I thought you were sitting here low-key roasting me for the Manitowoc minute right now.
No.
I'm not from Manitowoc. Because,
but you're not from Manitowoc, but you're still very close to like, you're not as redneck as that, but you're still like pretty much, you're still that person in a lot of ways.
Where do you go duck hunting when you typically go?
I've got a buddy on the Platte River here, but I grew up in South Dakota just doing sloughs and stuff early morning. I started duck hunting when I was so little that, well, just, I was old enough to carry a gun, which was 11,
let them back,
but I was back. Small enough that I couldn't walk through the mud. So my dad would carry me out to the edge of the slough and set me down on a bucket. So that we could shoot ducks together.
Did you guys, you guys basically grew up on that farm that I went to?
Yep.
And
did you
have all those, you got the mini horses there? Because I went to Taylor's farm to hunt, and at night he's got just like, I don't know, what, 20 little
there's horses? I think she has 13 miniature horses, two miniature mules. And then a couple of quarter horses. Hey, we skipped right over the question.
Oh, yeah, you now.
Oh, yeah, because I gave you my, you work too much.
Now it's
and
yours.
Then the but you're authentic.
Yeah,
authentic. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's see here. What do I not like about Taylor? Is that it? What was the actual question?
Your favorite quality.
Least favorite thing about Taylor. Huh.
I got mine.
I'm looking around your garage. I honestly feel like here's my,
it's
because you're kind of a workaholic too. And I kind of follow a lot of times. I see your output and then I'm like, oh, I got to keep up with that. So really, this is my way it's not projecting, but it's I am rubber, you are glue, whatever you say, bounce off me in 60. You're a workaholic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but I don't travel as much as you. I just stay home with children.
That is true.
You have your shows. I have four children.
That's true. That's true. So you're a parentaholic.
I think my fault is I'm a yes man. I'm like, oh, let's do that. Yes. Let's do that. Yes. You know, let's have a third kid. Yes. Let's have a fourth kid. Yes. You know, but
let's try for a fifth kid,
you know, and you know,
see if that vasectomy worked,
you know, and it's a great idea. It's just, there's nights where it's very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you were talking about, you know, getting sleep but it's when the kids go down, that's when you got.
Yeah. That's, I stay up late because it's the quiet time where nobody needs anything from me because no one else is working. So they're not asking me for stuff and all the kids are sleeping. Here's the deal though, Charlie, why is it that we have to make, some of the most important decisions of our lives while we have the least amount of blood in our brain? Why is it that is the time that we're making those decisions? You know?
Wait, can you define that? Can you just define that question?
But also,
when do you have
like,
the least amount of blood in your brain?
When have you, it's like when you go to the movies and like you're watching a movie, right? And you get to the last climactic scene, like you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about
let's pull out of this movie theater.
I was like, I thought we were talking about something completely different than
no.
And folks, that's a taste for Dude Dad Live. How Dude is Dad it touring, Live. Man? How is it touring?
I mean, we tour a lot less than you, and we take some of our children with us because it is a thing. So we're doing, I think, 20 dates this year. 20, I think 20 shows, something like that. So it's not a huge lift. And essentially what we do is, first off, I said at the beginning, I told Heidi, I'm like, I want to do a live show, but I'm not going to do a live show unless you're a part of it and you come with me. Because I couldn't do that to our marriage. I knew it would be difficult. I didn't want to leave her at home with four kids, and I'm out on the road just so I was like, I'm only doing this if you're going to go with me, you know, because we're not going to do that. And then we also take the youngest two with us, and the older two have school, so they stay back with family friends. Mm-hmm. But that means we can only leave at like 4 days at a time. So we go for 4 days, and then we're home for like 3 weeks, and then we go for another 4 days. And I wasn't sure how difficult that would be, because, like, you know, when you get in the zone, you kind of want to be in the zone. But I'm also finding that like four shows is kind of my max before my brain's like, I don't remember what we're doing.
Yeah.
My fourth show on this last run, it was still good, but it was my sloppiest show where I like missed a section, had to go back. Nobody knew what happened, but I knew.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a lot. It's definitely a lot. Four show runs is, I'm pretty not in it by the fourth deal either.
It's fun though. We're doing a 2 hour show. You know, with the openers, do about 30 minutes, and I do an hour and a half. Heidi comes out for part of it.
Do you like that length? Is that a good length for you?
I don't know how to make it shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, I could.
I was waiting for the joke there.
There's no joke. I just don't know how to make it shorter.
So now you don't want to do an innuendo?
That's the long as the show is. There's some things we can cut out, but there's some of our favorite parts. We do a lot of stuff with the audience. Like, it's not as done.
I just love how you force an innuendo into the conversation. And now I invite you. I open the door to this innuendo three times and you're still talking about your show.
It's not an innuendo. It's not a normal straight stand-up show. We do some straight stand-up, and then there's a lot of audience participation stuff that has been the fan favorite of the whole thing. So we've been leaning in and doing more of that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm like, man, if we could do an hour and a half of just straight that would be wild.
Yeah. I mean, you probably could. That kind of relies on the energy of the thing, but also they need your stand up to get going and get cooking.
Every room is different too. That's the crazy thing is some rooms you go into and it's like, oh my God, that was crazy. And then you go to the next one, you're like, why are you guys so tired?
yeah. That is a sort of like if you get a Thursday late show, that's a completely different vibe than
And the first two shows we did this year were Tuesday and a Wednesday at a club. And so then we're all in our head of like, this is not as good as we thought it was. And then we went out on the road and those shows are on weekends and in theaters and they just crushed.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay, good.
People can, you know, it's such a weird mix of people just needing to be in the right mood. And obviously you're drinking less. Drinking always helps those games a little bit.
Yeah, that's why if you're going to do a weekday show, go to some place like Milwaukee, you know, where they're going to be boozing no matter what day it is.
Anyways, but you're feeling good. Where can people go find you on Twitter?
Doodad.com. Check out the live shows, see what we have left. We're going to Omaha next, Des Moines, Iowa, and then we got four shows in Vegas. And so if we're not coming to your city, come see us in Vegas. And we're giving out free meet and greets for anybody that flies to Vegas. If you're one of the first 40 people for each show, we've got four shows in Vegas. And then we do Houston, Dallas, and then we got three shows in Colorado.
So if they fly to Vegas and they're one of the first 40 people to fly there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they got to send us their receipt for their plane ticket to show, hey, I'm flying out there.
Oh,
and
nice.
Put them on the meet and greet list.
Nice. What if you're the 41st person? Would you do it?
Try to go get a different show. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe we'll see you at the tables.
Pretty strict on the 40 person limit.
I'm not, but the venue is because they need to get
Oh, they got to get to
the
next one. They
got to turn it over for the next show.
That's a good move. Blame it on the venue. I like that. Any more questions, Dante, people had?
There's one more from Tacoma Seabro.
Tacoma Seabro. Okay.
How many five-year-olds could you fight until they eventually take you over?
Five-year-olds are so weak, but they're loud. I think that the noise would be the thing, is that you wouldn't know. You couldn't hear them coming because all you would hear is just the noise of the five-year-olds. But I feel like the thing would be is if they got on top of you and weighed you down. Because if I'm just punching five-year-olds, I could go through quite a few, and it would probably only take one or two hits for each one.
Taylor, only one. First one you punch tells their mom, you get canceled.
Yeah, that's true. I can't.
You're done.
So zero?
It takes one to take me down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, it probably
that's an easier answer.
You wouldn't punch one. But if there were 100, you'd probably be punching a few. So I think it's probably 100.
100?
One could bring you down, but you need the scenario where they're all there.
Yeah, I feel like even 80 would be a lot.
80? Yeah.
I mean, if we're pulling straws here.
How many five-year-olds attacking punching?
Well, I mean, are they rabid? Are they just normal
five-year-olds? They're children of the corn five-year-olds.
I think this scenario that he's setting up here is it's life or death, and it's me or the five-year-olds, correct? And in this scenario, you've got to be
zombie five-year-olds.
They're zombie five-year-olds. I'm not going to get canceled if I punch him. Okay.
I mean,
all right. So
in this political climate,
if I can get canceled, it's one. Okay. If I can't get canceled, and it's just literally to survive me or the five-year-olds, and I'm just knocking them down and running away, 78.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, we don't want to set you to the 80 mark, you know.
No, it's 78.
Yeah,
I got small feet.
Okay. Also, before we wrap up, I'd never told you what I thought your best quality was. Did I?
I don't think you did. No, I've been waiting.
Your organization.
Oh, shut up!
I'm kidding.
That's not true.
Here is. Here is your best quality. You always sacrifice the things that are least important for the things that are most important. Like, you sacrifice the organization of your garage for all the time you spend with your family and your work. And it's great. And who wants a neat garage anyway?
You know what? If you walk in and see a neat garage, you know right away, nothing creative's happening there.
No. And let me tell you, Taylor, there's a lot of creative shit happening in this garage. I mean, God.
There's so much stuff being created.
I know.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Some of that's just stuff that we had to move out here because we got bed bugs. And I haven't put it back in the house yet.
So that's the bed bug stuff over there, huh? Is that why this couch is on here right now?
Nobody watches this, right?
Oh, that's why you keep friends like Taylor around.
Hey, to a good 4 years and another 4 years, Charlie Behrens.
Cheers.
I've seen you at the top. I'll see you at the bottom.
You've already seen me at the bottom, I'm pretty sure.
That's a good way to end.
Yeah, I'll see you at the top. I'll see you when you're buying your Corolla back from your aunt. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. That's another episode of the Cripes Cast. Love talking to my buddy Dude Dad. Make sure you follow him at Dude Dad on all the platforms. Follow us at Cripes Cast. Colleen Maraca, thank you so much for being the EP of this podcast. Thank you to Hannah Milos for editing. Thanks to all of you for listening. And make sure you watch for deer. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, it's Amanda. On Monday's show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us. Mino and the Mayor, morning 6 till 9 on WISS and WGBW.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.